The 70s were a crazy time in Alaska. The state was young, and along came its first infatuation, oil. Prudhoe Bay was discovered in 1968, and it was a good-looking charmer. It was North America's largest oil field by far.
It was a poor state, and this was going to change everything, and it did change everything.
That's Bill White, a former journalist and pipeline historian. Think of him as your high school history teacher, complete with nerdy glasses and a big smile. But his only subject is the gas line.
Are you ready to ride, or
should we? I'm ready.
Okay.
He's taking me on a one-of-a-kind tour of Anchorage, important sites in the state's quest for a gas line. It's kind of like the Love Boat, except we're in my Toyota and no one ends up together at the end. Plus, this tour is mostly office buildings.
The 40-year history of the project is largely a paperwork exercise. There was some field work, but the big decisions were done in offices by people in ties.
Our first stop is the original BP headquarters in Midtown.
Is it back there?
No, that's 3201.
BP set up here in the 70s. Hope for a gas line was at its peak. We were in the middle of building an oil pipeline, and the gas line was next. There were three competing proposals, with some familiar names attached. Exxon and TransCanada were on board, so were BP and ARCO, which later became ConocoPhillips. White says it seemed like some line was inevitable.
There was not only hope, but the expectation that it was going to happen.
People were worried the U.S. was running out of natural gas, Congress and the president got involved, but the competing projects ended up in court. By the time a route was picked, the U.S. had found other sources of natural gas, and the project couldn't find financing. But it didn't take long for the state to find another love interest.
It was immediate.
Next stop, downtown, the former headquarters of the Yukon Pacific Corporation. But then we run into one of the hazards of doing a tour with a driver, that's me, who's not from Anchorage.
And so this area where we are in downtown, what did it look like in 81 versus what it looks like now?
We're not downtown.
Okay. Oh, right.
All right. Now we're in downtown, right?
Yeah, now we're downtown.
Okay.
In Wally Hickel's hotel.
Former Governor Wally Hickel formed Yukon Pacific in 1983. He planned to ship gas to Asia. For 20 years, this project was Hickel's baby, and it had a lot going for it. Presidential approval, check. Environmental impact statement, check. Permission to ship gas overseas, check. But it was missing two very important things.
What it didn't have is natural gas to sell, or natural gas buyers who would buy natural gas.
By the early 2000s, Hickel's project had fizzled. Let's just stop here to think about what would have happened if Alaska had gone all the way with a gas line. The state would be even richer today, right? Wrong.
We would have been a much poorer state because the wealth in this state is the oil, and the oil production probably would have been ended by now.
For 30 years, we've been using the gas, reinjecting it into the ground to produce more oil. And that's a big reason why, for a long time, the North Slope oil companies were not really on board with a gas line project.
The plan B has worked out very well. It has been really a phenomenal success story as a plan B.
And it's not like the gas is disappearing.
You're not losing any of the gas. You're just saving it for later. This is kind of like your IRA.
It's like a retirement plan for the
state. It's like a retirement plan.
It's a natural gas retirement plan.
But some of Alaska's more recent governors have been itching to cash in that plan. And around 2000, it's starting to look like the state has a chance. Oil production on the North Slope is in a steep decline, natural gas prices have spiked, and companies are starting to plan for the future. And this is where it starts to look a lot like speed dating. Since 2000, five governors have had five different plans. First, Tony Knowles signs a deal that would override state taxes, but it may not have been constitutional. Frank Murkowski negotiates a deal in private with the three major North Slope producers. The only part that makes it through the legislature is a hike on oil taxes. Then Sarah Palin comes in and offers $500 million in state money to sweeten the pot, but the fracking revolution swamps the gas market. So Sean Parnell pivots to Asia, where the Japanese tsunami sent prices soaring. The state partners with Exxon, BP, and ConocoPhillips.
Well, this is the vortex of the current efforts to do an Alaska gas project.
We're at the Midtown building, where some of the recent players are staying. The Alaska LNG Project headquarters are here. The state arm of the project, the Alaska Gasoline Development Corporation, is here. And so is the lead partner, ExxonMobil. Despite moving in together, things aren't going so hot. A new governor, Bill Walker, has taken the wheel. He wants the state to drive. And that's where we end our tour. But there are some lessons from all of this serial pipeline dating. White says the projects have failed for different reasons, but they shared one problem. Alaska's gas line is a really expensive date. The price of natural gas has to stay high to justify that cost, and that just hasn't happened.
You have to be a real gambler to want to do this project.
Will the state find a project to say I do? Bill White thinks yes, but maybe not in his lifetime. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Anchorage, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Love stinks. Love stinks.